and welcome to On the Brighter Side. I'm your host, Monica Tanner, and if you're listening in real time, happy Labor Day. Today's episode is an interview with my friend Craig Smith, who is a clinical therapist and the creator of Focus Guided Journal, as well as the host of Greatest Day podcast. Today's episode is actually him interviewing me, but I loved it so much that I wanted to share it with you. So without further ado, here is my interview with Craig Smith.
I don't even remember what it was, but that's what got me towards your stuff. And then ever since then, I've been following and I love it. And I love how open the discussion is and how it really shouldn't be. It still is, but it shouldn't be such a taboo conversation. It's like a foundational piece of relationships. So I saw something the other day that you posted, and it was your 69 text messages to get your partner's juices flowing.
Yeah.
And we're going to link that stuff up all through the show notes. So talk about that just for a second. Like where that came from in your mind.
Yeah, well, it's so interesting because a lot of couples, one spouse or the other, will tell me that, you know, like I talk a lot about flirting. I think that flirting and anticipation is so important when you're talking about your intimate sexual relationship. And flirting is a real challenge for a lot of people. I love it. It's my favorite thing in the whole world to talk about, think about, and do, right? But a lot of people feel uncomfortable flirting. They feel like we're married, like we know everything about each other. Like, why, you know, flirting, that's weird, right? But when they start to understand the importance of flirting again, then they start to feel a little bit uncomfortable about it. And texting is such a safe and non-intrusive way to start this flirting relationship. And so I just created this freebie as a tool or resource for my viewers to just kind of start playing with the idea of being flirtatious and kind of teasing and those types of things that I know to be really important, but people find uncomfortable at times.
And we really have gone to like this text world. So it's so perfect to just, you know, drop a line or drop this little hint at something or just some fun kind of way to say, I'm thinking about you in this way. Are you matching with me? So no, the worksheet's great. You've got some others too. You have great resources. I'm excited to get people who are here for me just turned more towards some of the stuff you're doing because I just love what you're doing. So let's talk about this whole pandemic stuff and relationships. And I said at the beginning, I saw a post that was like 20 years from now, like all these babies are going to be known as,
right.
Maybe you saw this meme. I can't remember it now, but
they're saying there's going to be all these babies, right?
Yeah.
From the pandemic.
Yeah. Coronials. That's what it was.
Oh, 20
years from now, all these kids are going to be walking around known as the coronials.
That's super cute.
So, but I got thinking deeper about it, which I do on everything. And I was like, you know, that might be true for some people, but I'm going to guess the majority are actually going to really find out that their marriage is not good, which is really sad. And I think it is turning out that way. You're either going to find that you're really close and yet maybe some babies are coming from this, or domestic violence rates have gone up. Sexual abuse, I think, has gone up. Suicide has gone up. So the ugly side of it is when we're at home all the time and now we're like really looking at our marriage and our relationship, we're seeing this is not as good or what I would like it to be. Tell me what you're thinking about all that stuff.
Yeah. Well, there is a really ugly side to, you know, the just circumstances created by the pandemic, because, you know, as humans, we create ways, you know, strategies to cope with things that are hard, right? So all growing up, we kind of learn how to maneuver in a world that's difficult. And so we come up with strategies or ways to distract ourselves and things like that. And what happens is when you have, you know, sort of a worldwide crisis like this, we're all like stuck at home, a lot of those strategies are not going to work for people, right? So like escaping the situation, spending time at work or their hobbies or getting together with other people, a lot of those strategies are going to be unavailable to people. And so they're either going to have to do what, you know, for me, my mess became my message the day that I realized all of my strategies were no longer working. And so that was kind of my big origin story of how I became who I am and what I do today, right? So you're either going to have some moments like that where you've got people just growing out of the ashes, right? They're Their lives are falling apart. Everything that they've depended on, all of their strategies are no longer working. And so they have to become this bigger, better version of themselves, which is what I hope for most relationships, that they can be like, this isn't working. And now we have to become stronger, better, you know, and I think that's very possible with the right tools and maybe the right guides, people who can help them do that. But what you're also going to have that ugly side where people are like, if I can't get out and go to work and do my hobbies and escape this person, then it's not right. And I have to get out of here. So you are going to see a little bit of both of that, I think.
I love so many things you just said. One being individual time is so key in a marriage anyway, like our individuality. Yes. I like to look at a healthy me leads to a healthy we.
Oh yes. Love that.
So we've got to have that anyway. And when you really lack that, it's like tension builds. And I don't care how great your marriage is, but 24/7 nonstop contact, like presence or proximity, I guess, it's going to be hard on anybody. So, and the other thing that you said that I really loved was just getting back to this, like learning about each other. Like, we haven't seen this side of our relationship before. So we can grow and evolve, kind of shift out of this place, which not just in your marriage, but anybody right now is like, are you sinking right now? Or are you going to hold the mindset of this is my growth place? Like, this is where I will be reborn from. This is awesome.
Yeah. And that's,
I love that for the marriage.
That's you, right? That's what you deal with, is this yeah. mindset shifting, yeah. But there's a lot of pressure. And so, you know, pressure creates diamonds. Like, that's how we become who we are. But there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of anxiety. We don't know if the kids are going to go back to school. We don't know if travel is going to open up. There's so many things that we just don't know. And so you've got all of these people dealing with these inner and outer, you know, kind of demons. And you know, that's one of the beautiful things about a marriage, is we're quarantined together. We have each other to lean on, to move through all of these emotions and different things with somebody. And so we're either going to learn to take advantage of that as our greatest resource for strength and growth, or we're going to realize that this maybe isn't what we bargained for.
Right. Right. It took 3 days. It took 3 days for us. I work a lot. I'm not home a crazy amount of time. And it took 3 days when I was home. I think I was 6 weeks home nonstop. And day three, my wife was like, nope, nope. Like, we got to figure this out because you're messing up my flow.
Right.
Like, I'm usually at the gym by now. Like, this is what I do. Like, so this is awesome, but let's figure out a schedule. Let's figure out a routine to reevaluate this. Yeah. Really glad it was more in a joking way. Like, just our sense of humor and our marriage works that way. But I'm so glad she said it. Like, cool. I agree. I don't want to be in the way. I want to add to, not disrupt what's going on.
Yes. Yes.
And that's kind of a theme of marriages anyway. Like, always reevaluating, like, what's working, what's not, and how can we adjust and move from here? So what do we do to keep some of the passion alive? Like, what are some things that couples can do who are like, we're on top of each other right now and not in the right way? So
yes,
we're feeling too claustrophobic. So let's figure this out so we can actually keep some passion, some excitement, the intimacy, like, going.
You bet. What if I gave you like some tips? Like, here are some tips on how to not get tripped up by all of this madness, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. So tip number one is to really step up our communication. So I think it's going to be really important to remember the different ways to communicate in different areas, right? So date night and daily connections, are two things that I suggest are really, really important. And when you're talking about date nights, we don't talk about kids. We don't talk about work. We don't talk about things that stress us out. And if your area where you're living and things are closed and you're going to have to just do like kind of at home date nights or in the backyard or going for a walk or a drive or something like that, we still can set that up in a way that we're not discussing things that are stressful, that we are just taking that time to do something new together, to learn something new together, to be fun. Flirty, there's that keyword, and just that's our time to tap into that fun getting to know each other as if we had no other responsibilities time. And that's once a week, couple hours, you just step into the fun getting to know each other aspect. Then you've got your daily connections, which is about getting to know each other's inner world. What was your experience today? I know we were both locked in the house together and did everything together today, but what was your experience and how can I make that experience better for you? That's 10 to 15 minutes per day. It's not a huge time commitment, but it's just the commitment to get to know what's going on in your partner's inner world and how you can make that better, right? So there's that communication. And then there's going to be like your weekly kind of meeting where you go over schedules and kids and concerns and those types of things, keeping that meeting to kind of once a week, unless there, the, you know, there is the need arises to talk about something else. But, you know, you can keep a running list of, you know, here are the things that are going well this week. Here are the things that are not going well this week. You know, here are the different things that we need to touch upon in this meeting. And that's where you can bring up those types of concerns after you have processed your emotions around them. So this is not like, you know, you show up and you're falling apart, totally emotional, yelling at your spouse and all of those things. It's like you've processed the emotions. You're coming to the table. Here's some problems. Here's some solutions, and here's how we can move forward together, united, those types of things. So having those really important communication times set up is going to be crucial in this time. Setting up a sanctuary up to be able to relax and be together. So that's your bedroom. So I am constantly telling people to never underestimate the power of setting up their bedroom in a way that is a safe, non-stressful kind of sanctuary type environment where you can just enjoy each other. So that means cleaning out all of the things that cause you stress. So that's not having your work stuff in your bedroom, not having clutter in your bedroom, the things that are taking you out of being with your spouse and into your daily to-do list. Like I try to invite people to not bring their laundry into their bedrooms. That's a really easy thing to do. I did that for years. I would pull the clean laundry out and put it on my bed. And so then it just became like that thing that always has to be done because it's right there on my bed and I can't go to bed, right? I would invite you to come up with different solutions for those types of things.
I love that one.
Don't bring to-do list items into your bedroom. Make your bedroom someplace where you can escape all of the daily to-dos.
Yeah. Oh, that makes so much sense. The cluttering of your space clutters your mind. It clutters your intimacy and your relationship. Oh man, I love it. Okay. Totally. I cut you off. Keep going.
No. So, and then also having those conversations about your intimacy should also not happen in the bedroom because we don't want to bring those types of heightened emotions. Sometimes those are emotionally charged conversations, like about your intimacy, whether it's the frequency or the kinds of, you know, intimacy or your needs or things like expectations. Those things should happen. Those conversations around that should happen outside of the bedroom. So go for a walk or a drive or have it at the kitchen table, whatever, wherever is most comfortable to have that conversation, but not in the bedroom. And then when you've got it all worked out and you're ready to try something fun and exciting and intimate, that's when you go into the bedroom. So keeping your bedroom just a really separate, safe, intimate, passionate place for the two of you, I think is going to be very, very important.
Love it. And what I hear in a common theme in some of those tips is really protecting times and areas.
Yes.
Date night. We're not overlapping date night. That is not the State of the Union meeting.
Yes.
A couple of podcasts ago, I talked about the 6 hours to a better marriage. So a lot of these tips, right? So this is not where the complaints come out this is not that. Date night is just the fun. It's exploring. It's being curious. It's all these things. And then the bedroom. I love that. And I neglect it so heavily as you're saying it. I'm like, shoot, I don't think I hung up my clothes that are still sitting on the floor from, I don't even know if they got folded. Maybe I just pushed them off the bed because it was bedtime.
Yeah.
So I love that. I'm going to put that one into play right away.
Good.
That's great. And we don't want to bring toxicity into the places that are supposed to be the most rewarding and deepest level of connection. So it makes so much sense.
Yeah.
We don't think about this That's why we need Monica. So,
well, you have everybody awesome. Coming home, right? Spending more time at home. The kids aren't going to school. It's summertime anyways, but you know, yeah. spouses aren't going to work as much, you know? And so it seems like the temptation would be to bring things into the bedroom. And I would say keep everything out of the bedroom that you possibly can. The bedroom is for intimacy and sleeping and peace, right? And so try to find other areas of the house for those other things that are now being brought in that weren't there before. And then another real, this is a big emotional intimacy tip, but I would, and I call it, it's a principle called don't jump into the pool. And what's going to happen is when you have a lot of people at home sharing a space and a lot of stressful, emotionally charged situations going on, you're probably going to have more disagreements and more like people getting irritated or frustrated and taking it out on other people that are sharing close quarters. And so what I teach my students is to not jump in the pool. So just because somebody else is frustrated doesn't mean that I have to be frustrated. Or just because somebody's having a bad day, it doesn't make me a good wife or a good mom to also have a bad day. And that's a huge temptation for people. And so I tell the story about my husband who got really frustrated about, I used the wrong credit card once when I went to the, once. I've probably done it a million times, but he got really upset with me. He was having a really hard day. There was a lot of things going on in work and everything else. And so he, and I was having a great day. It was like whistling while I work, you know, ho-humming along, doing my thing. And he came out and started attacking me about using the wrong credit card, right? Mm-hmm. And so I had, in that situation, I have two options, well, three options, really. I could totally ignore him and he would just get more upset. Or option two, which is also not a good option, is I could take that on. He's upset. I'm upset. We're both upset about this thing. Or three, which is what I advise people to do, is to, I stayed happy and in a good mood and I sympathized with his experience, but I did not jump into the pool. So he's upset. He's flailing around in the pool. And I always say he's in the shallow end. He's not drowning. He's just flailing around, right? He's upset about this thing and he's bringing it to my attention. And so instead of jumping in the pool and both of us flailing around, I just stood on the side of the pool and I said, I am so sorry that I made that error. I know that that makes more work for you. Is there something I can do to lighten that burden for you now that that's, you know, happened? I empathize with him, sympathize with him, but I did not jump into the pool and take on his emotions. And so that's a real easy thing for couples to do. And we do it with our kids too, right? But when our two-year-old is throwing a tantrum on the floor, we don't like jump down on the ground and start tantruming with them. You know, we're the mom. We handle it the way that it needs to be handled. And so I would invite you to do the same with your teenagers or with your spouse or whatever. You don't have to jump into the pool. You can just notice that they're upset and, you know, empathize with them, but you don't have to take on all of their emotions to be a good partner or a good mother, right?
The visual's perfect. Yeah. It makes, I mean, it makes so much sense.
Eventually they'll get tired of flailing around and they'll just get out of the pool and everything will be fine, which is always what happens for us.
Yeah. 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 And you could not have, had the appropriate response you did if you didn't first just listen and seek to understand a little bit, because we can defend ourselves. I, working with couples, I always say, like, you're attacking him or her, you're attacking one person and you're completely right. And they're defending themselves to the death and they're completely right. But together, we're not getting anywhere.
That's true.
So we're listening and seeking to understand, and we're not, I love this, don't jump in the pool.
Really. Yeah. So I came up with that because I want you to hear it in your head, like when this is happening, like your teenager comes in, is freaking out about something, or, you know, your spouse is stressed out about something that you wouldn't necessarily need to get stressed out about, right? So just hear that. Don't jump in the pool. Don't jump in the pool. Like, you know, you can maintain. And my husband and I made a pact a long time ago that both of us couldn't lose it at the same time. So, you know, I typically lose it around bedtime when my kids are still awake and it's like 11:30 at night. And I'm like, I need some alone time, right? I've been the mom all day long. I start to lose it. My husband totally keeps his cool, right? I'm in the pool flailing around and he's just calm and cool and handling the scenario. But, you know, there's times when that's reversed as well. And he's losing his cool. And I'm like, it's cool. I got this. Flail around. When you get ready, jump out of the pool and join us, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Those are tough moments, but saying it out loud, picturing it, seeing the reaction, it really helps to put some of that imagery behind it. So I love that. I was going to ask you, because on your Instagram, you are always reviewing literature. You're always going over just different programs and different things. What is for couples, if they are at home, I encourage even couples I work with, like read together, read something together. So without knowing honestly a whole lot about you, like at home and those things, although you're pretty open online, but I think you've got a pretty solid relationship and none of that's by accident. I don't believe that at all. So you're always reading and studying and learning. What can we read? What are some of your favorite things to just read or dive into as a couple?
Oh, you know, that's so interesting. My husband and I actually do not read the same types of things at all. So okay. I, of course, am obsessed with everything, relationships and intimacy. And my husband does not get into any of that at all. He loves kind of more fiction, fantasy, sports, you know, anything to do with that. So I don't have any recommendations for reading together unless your interests align. But I wouldn't recommend like forcing your spouse to like read something that they don't enjoy. However, absolutely. I do try to show an interest in what my husband is reading, and he shows an interest in what I'm into as well. So that's like part of that daily connection time that I was talking about before. So I'll be like, what have you been reading that you've really been liking? And he'll tell me about what he's reading, you know, the storyline or plot line, because I'm never going to read these books that he's into. Right. And so he'll kind of tell me what he's getting out of it. And it gives me a great insight into his inner world, into what's piquing his interest, into what, you know, he finds exciting, what he wants to learn more of. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way. You don't have to share the same interests or the same, definitely, that's kind of his unwinding time. He loves to listen to a book and clean my house, which is fantastic. I love it. I try not to interrupt him, but you know, later I'll ask him, I'll be like, you know, what were you listening to today? And he'll tell me about his book and I just take an interest in it, but I would never read that on my own for sure.
Yeah. Well, I like that because it's kind of like you can mark places in your mind for later. So if you see that author or that type of book, you're like, oh, maybe he would like this.
Totally.
You know, like responding to our love languages in that way. So again, learning more about each other. But okay, so just individually, what are some of your favorite like marriage-based books right now?
Oh, well, I'm loving anything by Laura Brotherson. She's fantastic. I'm going to say her name wrong. Nagasaki.
You got it the first time.
Come As You Are. Yeah. I'm not sure how to say her last name, but I love anything by her. Yeah. David Schnarch is great. I've had some new ones recommended to me that I haven't dived into quite yet. Oh, of course, I love Gottman. I love Dr. Sue Johnson. Those are just some staple kind of favorites.
Yeah.
Most of my reading is for education. I don't do a lot of like when I'm unwinding at night, I'm watching a show or, you know, but that doesn't happen very often. I'm pretty consumed by what I do, but it's really, really, really fun. And it like lights me up. So learning about relationships, it's right. like a hobby and a business. If that makes sense.
A lot of people ask me about like books to recommend. And so I know you dive in a lot of that stuff. So I thought I'd ask you, but my go-to always with people is the five love languages. Like I think it's,
oh, of course. Yeah.
To me, that's kind of the beginning of everything to just learn and understand and know how you're communicating with each other in a different way.
So five love languages is the one I absolutely love. I also really am liking right now learning about the Enneagram. It's giving me lot of insight into my husband and my children. So I have a lot of teenagers at my house and they're kind of like cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs sometimes. And so kind of having them do the Enneagram so I can learn like what their core motivations and fears and those types of things has really been helpful as a mom to understand those things about. So I do know my kids' love languages and now I'm learning their Enneagram type. So I think that's really helpful in marriages, but also in parenting because, you know, understanding their personality types, their motivations and things like that, which all changes over time. Love language changes over time. Personality types can change over time, but it really can give you some great insight into like, why are my people behaving this way?
And you have an answer to that. Like, honestly, I love that too. Like, you see a pattern, or even how one kid acts versus the next, or your spouse acts one day versus the next. And you're going, I'm not even hurt by that. Like, I don't have to jump in the pool, because I actually get it. Totally. I understand the patterns that are going on, and that, cool. Okay. So they need space. They just say it in a different way.
Yes. And it helps you understand how to communicate with them better as well, because you understand kind of what's driving them, these fears and motivations. And so you can, you know, tailor your responses to them in a way that they really feel heard. They're like, whoa, mom totally gets it. Like, maybe I really don't, but I know how yeah. to respond to them in a way that makes them feel like I totally get it. But teenagers yeah. are just hard to get. But
yeah, that's so true. I made a note also to talk to you about the survey. You did the challenges of initiating sex. You did this. I don't even know how long ago this was. I always thought about it. Do you know what I'm talking about?
I did do a resource that was 51 ways to initiate.
Yep. And in doing that, I think you asked a bunch of couples, like, what is the challenge for you guys to
initiate? Yes, I did do that on Facebook a lot. Yes. So yes, I did take a lot of polls on survey on Facebook, asking people, you know, kind of what were their blocks to initiating.
Yeah.
So I got a lot of people feel self-conscious. People are afraid of rejection. People don't quite know how that's going to be received. They don't know what to do. They're too tired. Answers ranging from totally like it's them to it's their spouse.
Yeah. And so from it came the 51 ways to initiate sex.
Yeah. Just trying to give people creative. It's just about being creative and jumping out of your comfort zone. I mean, intimacy it's scary. I mean, you are really putting yourself out there to your partner in a very vulnerable way. And so you have to take a little bit of a leap of faith, and it's tricky and it's hard, but the payoffs are absolutely worth it.
Yeah. And even I'm just thinking as you were talking, like even the rejection, which is probably, I would think, a majority of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know though. Even that, it's like, okay, but that's not a dead end though. Mm-mm. There are other ways to meet this connecting need than sex. Like intimacy is so different. I remember it must've been in college or something, but the 13 different areas of intimacy. And it went from like interest of books and the aesthetics and sports and outdoors activity. Like we're intimate on all of these levels. So if your language is, or your desire to connect intimately is about physicality, well, there's another way to do it then. Like there's many ways to do it rather than through actual intercourse or sex that way. So, but I love that this resource as well. And we'll keep directing people back to you and getting some of these things. Are all these on your website then?
So those two particular resources that you mentioned are not on my website. They are actually about to become part of this intimacy bundle.
Okay.
It's going to be like the Sizzling Sex Life bundle. So it does have a small cost associated to it. It's like $7 for like 6 resources or something like that. But I do have a lot of great resources on my website. So,
and a great website. Maybe you'd find this interesting just to put it out there for fun. But I remember a colleague I worked with years ago, he had a couple in his office and they were talking about communication. And he said, how many hours do you think you guys have communicated, like had talking to each other in the last, I think they were married 25 years. And I think the wife had said 10 hours. He's like 10 hours a week. She said, no, 10 hours forever. 10 total hours in our 25 years married, we've had communicating like words. And he agreed. So I think he was a trucker. And so he'd be gone forever and he'd come back. They would have sex. They would leave. But this all comes back to sex, because she said privately, not with him in the room, he did this one thing our wedding night, the move. And I hated it. I hated it. It was the worst thing ever, but he thought it was the greatest thing. And I never told him, and he did it forever. He always does it. He still does it. And I've never known how to tell him no. And I think that actually shut down their communication. She didn't know how to like break his heart by saying, your move is terrible. Like, don't ever do that again. But she didn't. And I think it kind of shut down communication forever. So my whole thing, coming back to this, getting conversations going about sex and connecting. And I think it's wonderful.
That's so important. I don't even know where to start unpacking everything that you said, but communication is, do you know that only 7% of communication is actually words? I mean, you're communicating with your nonverbals, your paraverbals, I mean, your actions, everything you do is communicating something, right?
I didn't know 7% only.
I read that recently. 7% of your communication is words. Everything else is like nonverbals, paraverbals, eye communicate, you know, eye contact, you know, physical proximity, all of those things. That's all communicating something, right?
Yeah. Me choosing not to load the dishwasher or take the trash. Like, this stuff is saying words. It's communicating something.
Communicating something, right. Absolutely.
7%.
Yeah. That's one.
So we probably want to make it really meaningful then if we're using that. We want that 7% to be like powerful.
Well, but there's only so much. I mean, your words. I mean, people pay attention to your words so much, like your tone, your body language all speaks way louder than your actual words. If you really are thinking about it, I could say the same set of words in like 5 different ways and you're going to get something totally different out of it each time.
Yeah. So opposite of what I said then. We want to make all the other stuff that more intentional.
That's right. So if you're conscious of the fact that everything you do in your relationship communicates something, then you're going to be more careful with what you're meaning to communicate.
Yeah.
But words are very, very important. I mean, you want to be able to exchange words in a way that exchanges information, right? But if you're like screaming at somebody that you love them, right? It's super confusing. So make sure that your words are congruent with your actions and that you're communicating love in a way that your partner understands. So that's, I think, probably the key takeaway of communication is everything is communication. Your emotional and physical intimacy is all communicating to your partner how you feel.
Love it. If you had to give us some of either that you were given or that you'd like to give others the best marriage advice, what would it be?
I love this question. So when you talk to newlyweds, this is my favorite advice to give at a bridal shower is when you are in an argument with your partner and you're ready to be done, take off all your clothes and say you're sorry. And when I say get naked or take off all your clothes, it means a couple of things. A, I'm ready for this to be over because it's really hard to be mad at somebody who's naked, right? But it's also on the converse, it's really hard to take off all your clothes in front of somebody that's angry with you. I mean, it's one thing to take off your clothes when you're ready to, you know, jump in bed, but it's another thing to take off all your clothes. But it's really a symbol, a symbolic of, I don't want anything to come between us, even our clothes, like nothing. I want nothing to come in between us. So this argument, whatever it was about, you know, or, you know, these feelings that are being created here, I'm taking it all off. I'm getting completely naked and vulnerable with you, inviting you to do the same with me, right? And so that is the best advice that I could give to any couple in any situation. I actually teach that conflict is good. So it ignites passion and creates this two strong me's creates a strong we, right? So I think conflict is really, really important in a relationship.
Yeah.
Creates passion and individuality, right? But when we're ready to connect, it's important to be able to get naked. So that's physically naked with our clothes, but also emotionally vulnerable and naked with all the parts of ourselves. So being able to share all of yourself with somebody else is the ultimate level of connection.
So what would be the worst advice?
The worst
you either receive or you can think of?
Yeah, the worst advice is don't go to bed angry. Oh my gosh.
Always.
If you guys are, I hate that advice. I cringe all over the place. Like when people say don't ever go to bed angry, I'm like, what? No, that's horrible advice. If you're upset with each other and it's bedtime, please go to sleep and don't try to fight it out while you're tired. That's just not good for anyone.
And all of us who have done that, gone to bed, we know the outcome to the next morning, which is what were we fighting about again?
Totally.
Or, oh, wow, I just needed one of us to get out of the pool. Like,
exactly. And fighting into the wee hours of the night when neither of you is thinking logically is like the absolute worst idea in the entire world. But it took me so long into my marriage to get that advice out of my head, because I used to panic.
Yeah,
my husband would be, we'd get in a fight. He'd go to bed and sleep like a baby. I mean, he'd be snoring and I'd be like ripping my hair out and freaking out. Like, this is the end. We're never going to make up. It's going to be horrible. Every worst case scenario running through my head. And I mean, I lost so many nights sleep from this horrible advice that I just wish we could just flag it. Like,
and it gets repeated all the time. I see it.
It's such a staple marriage advice, and it's the worst advice ever.
I got to tell you, I was kind of crossing my fingers like I hope she says that, because I still hear it all the time. And it really is. You nailed it. It's so terrible. I love your advice on the best advice, though.
Yeah.
What else do you want to add before you direct us to all the things you're up to and what you're doing? It sounds like there's a new program coming out, but just what else do you want to feed us with?
Oh, you're so sweet. I think I would just say that it's a process. Like, go easy on yourself, go easy on your spouse. Like, nobody teaches, like, you're not taught, relationships are not taught in school. There are so many negative messages about sex out there, like either what we learned growing up through Hollywood or pornography. There's just a lot, we're being barraged with a lot of really, really, really bad sexual messaging. And so it's hard to rewire and like untangle all of those thoughts and ideas that are present in our society about sex. But really, sex is beautiful. It's wonderful. It's of God. It's the creative power. I mean, it's the power to literally create life. And everything good comes out of a strong, healthy, thriving sexual relationship. So it takes time to sort through all of that and figure out your own sexual identity and who you are as a couple and where you want to be. And so just make sure that you're actively doing that. Make sure you're seeking out good sexual information and that you are constantly working on this aspect of yourself and your relationship. Mm.
And go follow Monica at... Where are you at on Instagram?
Sure,
that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. It's mostly on Instagram. So I see all your stuff there, and I love it. So where are we going to find everything you're up to?
So I'm at MoniTanner1 on Instagram. And then everywhere else, I'm On the Brighter Side. You can find my podcast at On the Brighter Side of Life. And you can find all of my marriage resources at onthebrightersideofmarriage.com. And I do have some really exciting things coming down the hatch. I'm working right now on a free Facebook challenge. It's 5 days. You're going to learn how to seduce your spouse. I'm so excited about it. It's the Seduce Your Spouse Challenge, you know, and that works for both the men and the women, the higher desire and lower desire partner. You know, you should always, always, always be seducing your spouse. So I'm excited about that. So look for that on Facebook and Instagram and anywhere else.
Yeah. And when I was over on your website, like, not just the new stuff you're up to, but these other 14-day challenges and things that you've got, like, get over and get involved with what she's doing, you guys, to create a stronger marriage, a better intimacy, better sex, like the communication around all of it. Like, we just
want to have mind-blowing sex. I mean, come on. Even if you think you don't like sex, like, mind-blowing sex
changes everything.
That's true. You're right. You just finished that sentence for me.
Changes everything. So awesome. Well, thank you so much for like just taking time sitting here and just having what some people are still feeling is an uncomfortable conversation, but we're going to change that. So
yes, let's do.
Okay. Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with Craig Smith as much as I did. I had so much fun chatting with him and going over topics that for some reason are so difficult to talk about, but they're so important. We talked about several of my free guides in that episode that I will make sure are linked in the show notes, as well as I'm talking to moms for a second here, because we are the glue that holds everything together for our families. It's true. Hopefully we're working with our spouses to do that. But for many of us who are working and managing the household and taking care of the kids and now homeschooling and all the things, sometimes we just feel like we could use a little more support. And so I am working on a special free guide that I'm calling Mistakes You Might Be Making If You're Looking for More Support from Your Husband. So that has been something I've been working on for the last week or so, and it should be ready this week. So if that is something that you are interested in having, make sure you either DM me on Facebook or on Instagram and let me know that you would like my free download that is 7 mistakes you might be making if you're looking for more support from your husband. Also want to make sure that you mark your calendars for September 21st when we start the next Seduce Your Spouse Challenge. I am so excited. I have revamped it and made it even better than it was before, and I can't wait to share that free challenge with you. You can sign up at www.onthebrighterside.com/SYS challenge. That will also be linked in the show notes. Please tune in next week for my interview with life coach and intimacy specialist Amanda Lauder. And until then, have courage, be kind, and stay on the brighter side.